Hey, We Gotta Believe listeners, you can find us every Monday and Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
What does it take to become a NASCAR legend? Generations of victory?
One of the great masters of the sport.
Motor oil in your veins. Does it take irrational confidence?
Tony Stewart wins!
A little bit of last lap magic. What about fandom that runs in the family? A track where every mile becomes a memory. Or maybe it's simply knowing that new legacies are built one lap at a time. NASCAR Legends, presented by Geico at Talladega, Sunday at 3 p.m. Eastern on Fox.
This episode is brought to you by Body Armor Zero Sugar. The brand new Zero Sugar sports drink from our friends at Body Armor provides real hydration with no artificial sweeteners, flavors, or dyes. And whether you're looking to stay hydrated or recovering from a long weekend, Body Armor Zero Sugar has got you covered with great tasting flavors like Fruit Punch and Lemon Lime. Available in stores nationwide, head on over to Body Armor Store on Amazon and get yours today.
Today's episode of We Gotta Believe is brought to you by our friends at Coors Light, the beer that is made to chill. I've been telling you guys for years now that those beautiful Rocky Mountains are the key to helping our souls chill, whether it's dealing with the springtime craziness, whether it's spring sports, graduations, dance recitals, anything else that may be going on. And in this case, the New York Mets needing just a day off to let the bullpen rest their arms, let the rotation kind of reset through all the injuries. And what do we get? A snowstorm in late May. Absolutely beautiful. And just like that, Coors Light is the beer that's made to chill with those Rockies on the bottle. Once they're blue, you pop it open, drink it down, and everything just chills out a little bit. So if you need a second to chill, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart by going to CoorsLight.com/believe. Again, that's CoorsLight.com/believe. Load up on your Coors Light for the regular season, the postseason, and then the Parade of the Canyon Heroes November 2nd. And we'll be drinking it with our cake and our punch. And when we party, what are we going to do? Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. All right, we are live, and the New York Mets are back winning fucking series again. Ain't no thing, baby. Ain't no thing. 3-4 against the Big Bad Cards. We had a little post-Pete Alonso fuck bomb celebration after the Max Scherzer news. And then go out to Colorado, my personal least favorite place to watch the Mets play, because you're always feeling like there's going to be 1,000 runs, bunch of non-National League baseball, my old man opinion. Huck two. That's what I think about Coors Field. And it was an absolutely delightful weekend, fellas. We got our fucking shout out those blue Rocky Mountains that we love so much. We shout them out all the time. Gave the bullpen a day off. Got to kind of shuffle the rotation up, so it made a bunch of sense with all the injuries. Come out. Rockies score two or more runs in what was like 84 straight games, and the Mets hold them under that two times. So this team is different. This team will be different until they stop doing different things, and they're not going to stop doing different things. So that's me on my soapbox. I'm a little fired up right now because we have a special guest today, the Cuban Crusher, who came up from Florida, joined us at Barstool DeBoer Park with his pops for a little bit. We talked some shit. We had some fun. He's a comic guy. He's a Mets fan. So this is right out of my soul. It's right out of KFC's soul. I think it's out of the entire show's souls, honestly. How we doing, Dylan? Good to see you, my friend.
Good, man. We're good. We're doing good. I guess we got a bunch of nerds in here. We're doing good, man.
Baseball is the nerdiest sport on the world. That's the other thing people don't talk about enough. We live and die 162 times a year. We are all nerds, every single one, even the ones that don't realize it yet, you know?
There's something special, like when I find out that like a comic that I follow, internet personality that I follow, whatever, when I find out that they're into sports, first of all, even I'm like, oh, cool. And then when you find out they're down with one of your teams, it's like, oh, you jump to the front of the list. Because yeah, I mean, I think, you know, usually you're so focused on the one thing you're doing, and then you find out it's like, oh no, they're normal humans that also have their own interests. And yours happen to be the Mets, so I love it, man.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yeah, man.
So are you, have you been a fan? You've been a Mets fan since day one. How did you become a Mets fan? Was it passed down from the family? I know you're in Florida, so you're obviously you're not born in this crazy fucked up little world we live in the tri-state area. How did you become a Mets fan?
I actually grew up, I'm from Florida, so I grew up wearing, you know, Ray stuff, the Devil Ray stuff. But I the only distinct memory I remember being a Mets was wearing a black Jose Reyes jersey in kindergarten, bro. That was like the first distinct memory I have of being a Mets fan. My dad was a Mets fan growing up. He's got family in New York. But I've always been Mets, Rays, but Mets mainly, man, especially the past like 5 years. And so I've like matured a little bit to realize, okay, if you're a Mets fan, you know, it takes a little balls to be a Mets fan. So it's a little grinder. You know, but yeah, Mets fan all the way, man.
That's one of the things that
feel that he's wearing a Jose Reyes jersey in kindergarten?
it feels good because I think back to it, I'm like, damn, I really was rocking that black Jose Reyes jersey when I didn't even know.
No, I love it for you. I'm just saying I was in fucking like college for Jose Reyes. God damn. Yeah.
I was watching Jose Reyes live as I was living in like my first apartment out of college, and I was going to his games every single night. It's like not even a rookie too. It's not like I'm talking like Jose Reyes fresh out of the fucking minors. So it makes me want to jump off a bridge, Kevin. That's what it makes me feel like right now. Which that's the thing though. So you watched your dad living the Mets fan life, as we say, this life, you know, chose us. And you're like, that's what I want to do. I want to go through all the emotions that guy is going through.
I was about to say, I look back, I'm like, damn, my dad was always pissed off. I wonder why now. I was like, oh, he was a Mets fan in early 2000s. That makes sense.
Yep. I mean, to borrow things from the comics, it's basically like, I want to be the Hulk. I just want to just get angry and just turn into a fucking crazy person off of what, 100? Yep, 25 strangers do 162 times a year. They're going to just decide my mood for me. And at least I could always blame living in New York. I guess if you're in Florida, though, it's like the Marlins and the Rays, like they're not going to – like those fan bases aren't going to grip you, right? And there's a ton of New Yorkers that get down there either when they get older or when they're done with the weather up here. Florida is basically like little New York. It's New York South. So I guess it kind of makes sense. So you probably have a couple of Mets fans around you that you can see here and there when the Mets are out, right?
Yeah.
So. What was your biggest takeaway? That was the first time you got to see the ballpark, right?
Yeah, first time New York, first time ballpark. I mean, it was just me and my dad talked about this. The only other fields we've been to are the Rays field, and that's pretty much it. But every time you walk around in Citi Field, every angle you see, it's like pointed down at home plate. Every angle is just like beautiful. You can go get a damn get some popcorn, and you can still see the field down. When you go like to the Rays stadium, you go down and you have to like watch it on the TV. You can't like watch the game as you walk away from your seat. It was just incredible.
That ballpark isn't even built for baseball. Like they hit a pop up and it hits off the ceiling.
you were talking about the top dome. You're like, oh, it hits the top. I'm out. I'm leaving.
Well, what is that park built for? What is that? What is the trop supposed to be? It's just a like gigantic indoor football piece of shit.
Or something. It's a recreational field. I don't know.
The absolute pitch.
Yeah, and they've got a great franchise, which is crazy. Like they've done the most they absolutely can throughout the years, and they like the fact that they're still in the trop is just nuts, man.
Yeah.
How did they end up having you out like with the Mets?
With the Mets, man, it was just one day. I just looked at my phone. It was like, oh, the Mets followed. Well, first they followed me. Then a couple weeks later, like, hey, we want to get you out. We want to send you some tickets, get you out. I was like, what the hell? I'm out here on TikTok, you know, screaming at nerds about comic stuff. And they just hit me up one day saying, we want to get you out for some tickets. The worst thing about it was it was like a month before, or it was right during the lockout, like right as like nobody knew we were gonna have a season. So I was like, oh damn, you're really gonna ask to have me out while before they even know if we have a season? But yeah, they just hit me up one day and were like, you want to get you some tickets? We'll get you out here. Like, oh sure, man, I'm a Mets fan, works. Dub.
It's an interesting line because I know that the franchise, you know, the product on the field is what matters the most, but they want to try to turn it into this whole experience where they have different types of fans come out and there's different people there and guests and all that to turn it into this, you know, whole event. But it's such a fine line because I don't want just any old, you know, influencer out there. I don't want anybody with a following can come in and get the red carpet treatment. So I like the fact that they're, you know, they probably hopefully did their research, find out who's an actual Mets fan, who, you know, really deserves to come through and kind of represent for the team. And speaking of yelling at nerds about comic shit, when I saw that Doctor Strange made more money than the Batman, dude. Clem, I went to see Doctor Strange with Clem, and I had a fine time. It was a lovely mandate. We had a great time. And as I've gotten further away from that movie, I was like, yo, that movie sucked, dude. That movie sucked, Clem. That stuck. It was garbage. To beat out the Batman was fire compared to Doctor Strange. You're just a Marvel dick rider, so you're never going to admit it.
Well, I can't really say stuff on the podcast in case people haven't seen it in spoilers. There were a couple scenes, couple moments that, I mean, I think was higher than anything in the Batman, personally. That is also coming from a self-admitted dick rider of Marvel. But yes, Kevin, there were things. There was just a three-second theme song in Doctor Strange was better than anything I saw in the Batman. I'll say it. Robbie's not here. If I have to say it to Robbie Fox's face, I'll say it to his face, too. I don't give a shit.
Yeah, you. He hates Batman for some reason, and he's all about this. You know why? It's because you just got sucked in to the Marvel world in the basement. That's why. You're afraid to admit it, Clem.
Kev, there was a bald man in a yellow hovercraft. That's all I needed to see. That was worth my $15 ticket in itself, that 3 seconds of when he made his entrance. That's all I'm going to say on that.
When you watch the Batman, it gets your blood pumped. I remember seeing it there. It got my blood pumping. I was like, damn, I want to go hit the gym or something. I'm like boiling here. When I watched Doctor Strange, I had to go take a piss, take a dump out. I was like, man, did I really just watch that? I didn't feel anything. I was like, okay, cool. No, when I watched the Batman,
I don't want to, again, give away spoilers, but if you watched What If, I think a lot of Doctor Strange kind of got, like, spoiled in a way. Because I think there was a few moments that would have been like, oh, shit. But we had already kind of done that, like, a few months ago on this half-hour TV show. So I feel like they kind of, I don't know. I don't know if they released it the wrong ways or whatever. And those moments you're talking about, Clem, were good. I just thought the overall movie, like, I don't give a fuck about that girl they were running around with the whole time. I don't give a shit about her, man.
Kevin, what did you drink during the movie, Kevin? What were you drinking during the movie?
I drank a pint of milk glass, motherfucker. I drank a big pint glass of milk. Who cares?
This guy drinks milk during movies. That's what I think about his fucking 2 cents on Doctor Strange. Don't take anyone's opinion on taste when they're drinking milk in a movie like a fucking psychopath. You Clancys are weird, man. The McPoyles of the podcasting world. Have you ever drank milk in a movie?
That doesn't mean anything. The guy knows his movies. He knows. Listen, he can admit if we're gonna call Doctor Strange like a great Marvel movie, then the bar is like all fucked up. Because when a great Marvel movie does come out, what are we gonna say about that?
It's a perfectly fine Marvel movie for what it did, the Multiverse of Madness. It was perfectly fine. Didn't have to be the greatest thing ever. The only criticism you could have of it is that it was written by a Braves fan. Our guy, Michael Waldron, loved the guy. He's a Braves fan. He's a motherfucker. And we're going to beat the Braves in the playoffs this year, and then we'll put him down. We'll fucking shit on Doctor Strange at that point in time. But until then, like, just enjoy it, man. Just all I'm asking. Just enjoy fucking. That's what
I did. I did enjoy it. But I do feel like I was surprised to see that it breezed past Batman, right? I mean, like, in a matter of weeks.
That's like the Mets. They're just manufacturing money, runs, games, whatever. They're just stacking
it's up. Marvel has a trust system. Other franchises, other people than the Mets have a trust system. The Mets don't have a goddamn trust system. You're like, okay, I'm gonna go into this. I'm like, oh, maybe not, but no. Marvel has like you trust them. I don't know.
It's trust the process.
Trust the process. You can't trust the process as a Mets fan. You're always like jittered. You're like, oh, something bad's gonna fucking happen.
Well, that's what was so interesting about this weekend in Colorado. That a couple of those games were just, I mean, even when we lost it in a bad way, it was like the weekend was just relaxing for the first time in a long time. I mean, yesterday was obviously a tight game, but to shut them out and then that first game was like, I mean, that was the easiest game of the year.
It was the most uneventful series the Mets have had this season. Like, just easy two wins, no doubt, and the one loss, you throw it out, no one cares.
Coming into a series where, admittedly, I was like, I hope they get rained out on Friday. I hope they get snowed out on Saturday. We play one game to get the hell out of there. Like, that was my entire mindset for the weekend. So when they did play, I mean, Trevor Williams starts a game, I'm already writing that off. I'm like, okay, that's one loss. We just got to win the other two. That's exactly
what And shout out Taiwan Walker for going 7 innings in a hitter's haven like Coors Field. Like, that's unbelievable.
It feels – It feels good to get to the part of the season where you're actively rooting against your team to play games. It's like, this is supposed to be a fun thing that we all do and enjoy. And I'm like, man, I hope the Mets don't play on Friday. Preferably not even on Saturday. And if this game is necessary in October, we'll play October 2nd after the season is over. How fucking brain broken are we? But my guy Dylan, again, if you're a Mets fan and you're a Marvel fan, Uncle Stevie, Mickey Mouse, two motherfuckers with a shit ton of money that's going to make everything better. Everything's going to go away. The casting of the Marvel movies is always spectacular. The players we'll be buying in the Mets are always going to be spectacular for the rest of our lives. And then the development through the system, whether it's writers, directors, producers, I could talk Marvel Mets all fucking day, Kev. So you better tread lightly. This is my territory. We start talking porn stars and stuff, then I'm going to, you know, your territory, that little world. However, since you wanted to shit on Doctor Strange, I wasn't going to say it. I swear to God. I had it written out in the group text and I deleted it. And listen, Adonis Medina, he had a rough inning. I'm not even blaming him for the loss on Saturday, the second loss. JD Double Davis with that fucking steal, when that pitcher couldn't locate on Nito, Nito was going to clear the spot, get on base. They were going to rally. And then fucking, you know, we're talking multiverse and stuff like that. All these different things that could have happened. If they just fucking crack it open there, I'm convinced the Mets sweep this series. And we're talking about our first sweep of the season as we go into San Francisco. Mm-hmm. We have a JD Double Davis problem right now. And I don't like it.
What was that? What is he doing trying to strike that bag? That was insane. That was absolutely insane to think that was the right move in the right spot for the right guy to get up there and try to just swipe a bag with Nito at the plate like that. Absolutely nuts. I think you're right. I can't knock it. I think that's one where, like, he gets back to the dugout and nobody even, like, yells at him. Like, you know that you're a fucking idiot. That was, like, the dumbest play.
Yeah, I think what happened was he saw Mark Canna steal a base out of nowhere. It's like, oh, I can do that too. And then it just didn't work out.
That did not work out.
He's coming down the steps and Buck's just shaking his head. It's like, I have no words for you. Just go sit down.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the ultimate. It's like when your parents give you, like, I'm not mad, I'm just disappointed. Like, what the fuck were you thinking, man? I can't defend it. He's still my guy. He's not known for his base running. And apparently, like, nobody on this fucking team is, maybe with the exception of Jankowski and Marte, because some of the base running decisions are absolutely wild. The amount of times we run ourselves out of an inning in the first, you know, 30, 40, 50 games is absolutely nuts. I'm not going to defend it. I don't know if it's Cora. I don't know, you know, who's making those decisions. But we got to tighten that shit up. Because if there is any sort of postseason, God willing, and we have some of those base running mistakes – I won't be able to survive, man. I don't know, Dylan. I don't know if you're, like, a freak like I am, but, like, when the Mets play bad and then lose and it's, like, their fault for dumb shit, it ruins, like, my week. Like,
that's generally how it is. But that's generally how it was all last season. I was like, it's our fault. It's like, you could win games and it's our fault if we don't. It's like, but I guess that's just a typical Mets. I guess that's the Mets fan. It's like, if we're going to lose and we're going to lose stupid, it's probably going to be our fucking fault. It's not going to be the team being better than us. It's going to be us being idiots.
That's what makes your
blood. Which I think, actually, when you break it down, that's the difference. Like, you know, there are plenty of teams. Like, I see that a lot of times, like, Pirates fans, God bless them, and know they have it terrible. I'm not going to tell you don't. But I think the Pirates go out there with a shitty team and they lose to better teams. And they do that every fucking year in a row. Whereas Mets life is like, there's been plenty of bad teams, Lord knows it. But even when you are good, they make bad plays and they do stupid things, or they find themselves in bizarre situations. And that's why this year has been such a nice departure from that. But it is, you know, it's a lifetime of just beating yourself up. And I think that's what makes us the sick fucks that we are.
Well, thanks for hopping on, Dylan. Appreciate it. If people want to check you out, the Cuban Crusher. That's right,
TikTok. Crusher, man. TikTok, everything. Nerd stuff. I post anything. Gym, Mets stuff. Whenever we're doing bad and I get pissed off, I'll rant about the Mets on there. But yeah, anything, man.
And I just like that. Like I said, the one time we were just like, "Hey man, just smile out there." I was like, "That's my kind of guy right there." So another one of us in the fucking another person with us in the foxhole right here. Hopefully we'll see you come up in October and we're going to playoff games. That's what I'm telling everyone at Barstool Ballpark. We're gonna see you guys in October. Then we're gonna be at the parade in November. We TikToking our asses off at the parade, punching cake. That's what's gonna be served there. So I hope you're a punching cake fan in Coors Light. So we'll be doing it all together. So thanks for coming on, my brother.
Cool, appreciate it. Thanks, man.
LFG.
Thank you.
Oh man. So we talked about kind of the JD Double Davis Davis stuff, and everyone's like, "Well, what are you going to do if you trade JD Double Davis Davis?" Well, we already have Escobar a third, and a star. A star has been alive, but he was truly born this weekend. Luis Guillorme. Finally, people are understanding just how fucking good Luis Guillorme is.
Maybe he's just a ball player, man. Yep. There are people who are on this earth to play baseball, and I would make the argument that even like, is this sounds silly, but like Barry Bonds was put on this planet to be a superstar and just happened to end up playing baseball, you know? Whereas like Luis Guillorme was put on this planet to play baseball. He is just a ball player, and I fucking love having those guys on the team. He is special. He is going to be something. If when we look back, if this team ends up being like what we hope it is, he will be a huge, huge part of why.
Mm-hmm.
So I they are two very different people, and good thing I don't say this with Dylan on the call because he would fucking say, "Who the fuck are you talking about, old man?" But the way I feel about Luis Guillorme, and they are two very different players, I understand that, is the way I felt about Melvin Mora when he was young with the Mets. It's like I just have confidence in that guy. And not in Melvin Mora's fielding because he was not a good shortstop, even though he was not a shortstop, so he shouldn't have been playing shortstop, where Guillorme could play anywhere. But it's just like that guy, that's what a professional baseball player is, Kev. You said it absolutely perfectly.
He plays
and
ball.
It's whether yep. Yes. It's a, you know, Luis Guillorme is our offensive Blue Mountain Boy of the Weekend. That's what I'm going to give him right now. He's at the plate. I know he's going to come through. He needs to drop a bunt. I know he's going to do that. If it's a base running thing, and then, which fucking web gem do you want to point out from this weekend? The one where he did the spinneroo, the fucking, the bullet that was shot at his face that he snagged. Everything about him is just perfect. And when you have that beard, you kind of just become the beard guy. But he is now bigger than the beard. He shaves it off, and now it's growing back.
Yeah, he needed to come out of his shell, like, physically. He's like a fucking butterfly coming out of the cocoon when he shaves his beard, man. It's almost like in basketball there are guys, you know, like a Jamal Crawford type or someone that's just like, you're here to play ball. To like, it's just in your blood. It's who you are. It's like what you are as a person. That's what he is, and they're hard to come by. They're honestly, like, as much as you need – superstars, you also need those like middle of the road guys who just know how to play the game, and they're just as rare and just as hard to come by. And like, thank God that we've got them. That's important in my mind.
And one of the things Buck's been pretty good at is just making sure every player gets regular at bats. Like, Guillorme's never going to be like out of the lineup two or three. He'll never be like completely out of a series. Pretty much, like, he'll get his guys in. Oh, Ken needs a day here. We'll plug Guillorme here. McNeil in left field. Oh, Marte needs a day. Then we'll just shift the guys around. Oh, Escobar needs a day. Then Guillorme to third. Like, Buck's been very good at making sure his guys are ready. And I think that's important.
McNeil is like the perfect piece because.
Exactly.
For years, when we were screaming that he needs a stable position, he has to play second base. Now we're like, oh shit, like, he's a legitimate left fielder and second baseman.
Yeah.
He's going to be able to get everybody else funneled in through this lineup week after week. It's like totally different. But it's like, also, he shaves his beard. That's the equivalent of DeGrom being like good and then otherworldly when he cuts his hair.
I usually am against all that stuff. I would have told you not to cut your hair. I would have told you not to cut your beard because that's kind of like who you are. That was a turn or something, when you shave that beard.
But I hope Dom Smith's watching because Guillorme shuts up, sits on the bench, comes in, and then does his job. And you know Dom Smith, my guy, you got to shut the fuck up if you're playing as bad as he is, and then you're asking for another team to come get you. When you're on a first-place team, like, you're the clubhouse guy. You're the guy everybody loves. You can't do shit like that, and you definitely can't go to Newsday and do it.
Dude, the toughest stat I've heard in a while was hearing that Dom hasn't hit home run since Javi Baez was a Cub.
Yeah. Since July of last year, like right after the All-Star break. Yeah.
KFC's brain just broke hearing that stat live in person. Javi Baez was a Cub the last time Dom Smith hit a home run.
There are certain people like I'll absolutely always ride for, and he like kind of started to become one of those guys for me where it was like, I think just no matter what, I want him on this team because I don't know why. I don't have a fucking reason other than like because I like the guy. But we're reaching a point where it's like, yo, what would you say you do here, Dom?
Maybe it's weird. Maybe he's saving the next home run for a big one. I was like, maybe like ninth inning, like maybe that's what he's saving it for.
Well, I mean, you know, he had that 4-for-4 game against the Phillies when, you know, everyone's head was on the chopping block. And so maybe he's the type who needs extra motivation. I don't know. But where everyone else seems to be stepping up, you know, there's only like one dude really like continually regressing. Mm-hmm. And it's like,
and he hit like four or five home runs in spring training coming into this on a shortened spring. Like,
You know what I saw? Somebody tweeted, I need to see the OPS splits before and after Cano was released for Lindor and Dom. And they both dropped like very significantly since the Cano release. Now, Lindor, you know, I've decided I don't know if I can do the Lindor argument the rest of my life. It is what it is. Is he going to live up to fucking $340 million? No, because guess what? Nobody on the planet Earth does. There's really nobody that plays on that level that earns their contract with the exception of like Mike Trout. Everyone else is pretty much you overpaid for a star. You paid a premium for a certain position, a certain time in your franchise. He's going to be the greatest Mets shortstop in history. He gets paid a little bit of extra money that he probably, you know, doesn't earn to the fucking dollar. So what? I'm over that. He is going through a slump. That's, you know, the reason why. If Dom Smith needs his buddy, Robinson Cano, by his side to play good, well, then I don't know, man. You're not that good of a ball player if you need, like, your best friend by your side. You do your fucking job whether your friends are here or not. If that's the reason why, then I'm not blaming the brass. I'm not upset about Cano. I'm upset about fucking you need your best friend in order to play baseball, Dom.
And I got a Robinson Cano update for since he's been with the Padres. He's 3-for-18 with 3 singles. That's a .167 batting average. So
I mean, that's all you'll ever get. He's got no power. He's got no speed. He's got no jump. He got nothing anymore. And, you know, I guess he's cool in the clubhouse, though. If you want that, go ahead. God bless you.
Yeah, he's a cool looking guy. He just like looks like a good dude, right? He just looks like a dude you'd want to hang out with, too. And we can't forget Dom on the scooter. That's definitely embedded deep in our brains, Scooter Dom, which I think we all love Scooter Dom, right? He's wheeling out. Yeah. And that was fucking, I mean, that was Scooter and the Big Man level shit, which feels like 100 years ago at this point.
Hey guys, it's Big Cat and Fight Week is here. Rough and Rowdy 24 invades Clarksburg, West Virginia this Friday night, April 19th at 8 p.m. Eastern for the first time since Rough and Rowdy 1. Every single fight will be a brand new brawler. And we found the wildest hillbillies the holler has to offer. Order now to enjoy 20 amateur matchups with no headgear, plus our live ring girl contest after the final bell. These country roads are being paved with blood and grit and balls. Join me and Dave on the call for Rough and Rowdy 24 this Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern. Witness all the chaos with pay-per-view replay available all weekend long on buyrnr.com. That's buyrnr.com.
100 years ago. So it's tough for Dom. Yeah, you have to be a little better.
Let me say this. The Dom is a lot like a lot of personalities here at Barstool Sports. Where and Cano was too, where it's like, you don't really do anything, but we love you. You know, we like you. And you're a good hang. You're a good guy to have around. The Mets are a baseball team with wins and losses and production, and the Barstool is a fucking funhouse. You can have those guys around in a profession that's just like, I don't know, man. We're just here to fucking dick around and make people laugh. When it's about producing and wins and losses, you got to produce, and there just hasn't been a lick of production from the dude. So, and then like you said, which is fine. Players have good years and bad years, ups and downs. Certain guys bring certain elements to the team. But you got to keep your mouth shut. Yeah. Zip your fucking lip if you're going to be one of those guys that's like, I'm just here to pop in, you know, every now and then, and I keep the clubhouse loose and all that shit. But if you're not keeping the clubhouse loose and you're running to the media, we got a problem.
Yeah, it's actually going to – it's Dom and JD have done a tremendous job of making it a lot easier to move on from them. Now, it's going to be impossible for the Mets to move them for anything worthwhile because they both fucking stink right now. Yeah. But as a fan, the attachment, it's like if it happens, it happens. Going back now, like the Hosmer trade would have looked a lot better. Now, granted, Paddock's elbow has blown up since that all happened.
But Hosmer was never going to do it. They were going to ship him to a third team. Yeah.
But they would have then gotten whatever they got from Hosmer. Oh, yeah. Right? So it's like they would have gotten something back. Paddock's elbow exploding makes that part of the trade look like shit.
I'm not losing sleep over that. I don't really care. Could have got something, but you know, I'd rather have used this time exactly the way we did. Find out what you got and what you don't got. Mm-hmm. JD, I think, has been there a couple times at least, whereas Dom, I mean, you know, JD's had a few big hits. He's been, in a couple spots where he's come through. And now you know what I mean? Like, now you know exactly what you got. Would I love to sell high, like, you know, a couple years ago or last year or whenever they were on their hot streak? Sure. But,
At least with JD, you can point to the expected batting average and like all the shit that this nerds, like the stat nerds love and be like, well, he's hitting this, but he should potentially be hitting this. He just has bad luck. Like,
yeah. Like I still think there's a very big difference between those two. Maybe not at the end of the day, but like if it's a pinch hit in a spot or the spot in the lineup's coming up and there's men on base and it's JD, I still think the guy can do some things with the bat. I feel like Dom is turning to like an automatic out. We're looking at like McCann status where it's just like, please don't ground into a double play sort of shit.
Oh, and when people also probably we would have gotten Emilio Pagan in that trade too. He's a reliever for the Twins now. He has a 2.13 ERA, but he also has a whip of like 1.6 and walking 7/9. So I'm very happy. I don't have to see that on our team.
Yeah.
Can't tell anyway for relievers because they come in and just cash in other people's runs all the
time. Exactly.
I think we almost need to like readjust our thoughts of what Dom can be or is probably going to be, at least for the near future. I'm renaming him Dom Minkiewicz. He's a lefty first baseman. That's by no means a knock. Trust me. That sounds like a knock. See Dom at first.
If someone called you Doug Minkiewicz of something, are you taking that as a compliment?
You can call him Dom Minkiewicz. I used to call him Dom Magadan. I don't think that's like being – that's spitting in Dave Magadan's face at this point, right? Because that's a 300 hitter. Even though it was just a punch, you know, slap hitting guy. But when Dom came in the game in the ninth inning, for defensive reasons, I felt like comfortable. I was like, we're not going to fuck that up. And I love Pete and Pete's getting better, but that's a very important role in this team. It's like, but I don't want to see Dom. I don't want to see the Dom PhD, you know, Dom and Pete both in the same lineup like three times a week anymore. I'm very fine.
I used to love that thought. I used to fucking beat the drum of play Dom at first and Pete DH and like there's no reason why we shouldn't do that. And it's so weird because he used to rake those extra base hits, right? Like he used to have those, like it used to be his thing to like hit doubles and have some pop, and now it just has gone so far the other direction. And it's funny that you bring up Doug Minkiewicz because it was the anniversary of one of the greatest Mets moments, one of the greatest Subway Series moments of all time with Dae-Sung Koo when he hits that double against Randy Johnson, then scored from second on the bunt. I'm pretty sure with replay he would have been out by a mile. I don't really exactly remember. But after that, he gets to the dugout, and who's there fanning him with a towel is Doug Minkiewicz. And I was like, holy shit, seeing that fucking name across the back brought back memories. I remember going to the mat for that guy, trying to tell you why, you know, he's better than fucking, well, I don't want Albert Pujols. I want Doug Minkiewicz. He's got a good glove. He's bringing in extra runs that way and all this dumb shit. But yeah, man, I mean you do need defensive replacements, sure. Like I do want to have some of those guys for those moments. But again, it's just what he should have been versus, you know, if you told me that that Dom would just be a first base glove to, you know, give Pete a rest in the ninth inning a couple years ago, I would have told you there was much brighter things ahead for him. But
well, that's what Janko was. Janko was a first round draft pick who just couldn't stay healthy and couldn't whatever. But he's a guy who's going, no one's going to buy my jersey. I'm just here to make the team better, steal bases, and play defense. Dom has a vicious thing in his head of like what he could be if he could just get consistent playing time. And it's like you get semi consistent playing much more than he ever did. And also, it's like I think he sees the writing on the wall because they were working out Canada at first. And he's like, fuck, like you're just putting some random guy at first base to get his bat in the lineup. Like, what does that leave me? I understand. Yeah.
You can't. I think at the end of the day, I think it's your fault, Kyle, because you've been beating the drum so goddamn loud that maybe even Dom Smith was like, hey, that guy who walks on the treadmill literally fucking likes me. Maybe I am good.
So
we do have to bring that up, too. We do have to discuss the treadmill because we have a Wednesday game this week. So and Thursday we're off. So Kyle is walking on Wednesday. I'm just letting that be known to everybody.
Here's where I'm at on that. I think that people want to make it a thing. I think that we've seen Kyle walk on Wednesdays and Thursdays. We've had wins. We've had losses. We've had it all at this point. I think that his point about the greater season being good with him walking is the point. Like the data is all scattered. There's no correlation at this point, right? I mean, we've had every which way.
Mm-hmm. The only thing I know for certain is that they're playing at 9:45 today and tomorrow, and I sure as shit don't want to be on the general team.
Yeah, fuck that,
dude.
That's your only choice, dude. That's your only option at this point. I think that, you know, all we know is that I don't even know our record. We're fucking 10, 12 games over first place. We've got the biggest lead in division, the biggest division lead in baseball, lead in the league in the NL. Like,
we've had one losing streak, by the way. We've had one losing streak. We've lost two games in a row one time in the first week. We said, nope, not doing that anymore.
I heard, I think it was, I think it's either 14 or now 18. No, 14 times we've won.
14-1 after a loss.
After a loss, yeah. I mean, that to me is, you know how I love winning series and you know how I hate a losing streak. Like, you know, it's funny. I look at the Mets and the Yankees and it's like, obviously the Yankees are you know, the class of baseball right now, but they've done it with this like crazy winning streak after such a slow start. And I said it before, I'll say it again. I'd rather just be that consistent, like win, lose, win, lose, win, lose, and just keep at that like 650 pace until the postseason, because it's so much better for my heart and my soul and my blood pressure. Could you imagine if we were at, like, it's been stressful enough as is. Imagine if it was with the roller coaster going even higher and lower. It would be
this
crazy.
Is as level as a team I can ever remember. So.
Within games, it's crazy up and down.
Yeah.
But within like series and the big picture, it's been pretty steady.
Mm-hmm.
I like baseball as just a nice background song. I don't need to hear every single lyric. I don't need to hear the strumming of every fucking guitar note or whatever the fuck it is. I just see it in the background. The Mets are always playing. And hey, 5-2 wins every single day and then a 5-2 loss. That's beautiful. We said that like 3 years ago, that exact thing. It's like, as long as it's just peaceful. And hey, the occasional ninth inning comeback out of nowhere that we've had like multiple times, followed by a no hitter. That's pretty fucking awesome too. But other than that, I don't need like the shit we've lived through our entire lives where you spike and then you crash and then you go back up again. I don't like roller coasters. I am not a roller coaster guy, so I'm very happy.
No, it's like being a diabetic with my insulin or some shit. I got to make sure I get my blood sugar right. I mean, even when it was 8-3 in the second game this weekend, I had almost tweeted, you know, it's almost like a curse with this team because you can't ever turn it off. Like, you never know. And then they blew the doors open, and it was 11-3. And I actually could just go to bed or put on a movie or whatever. Like, sometimes it's almost necessary to have a blowout in the other direction where it's just like, throw it out in the trash, go get them tomorrow. I mean, obviously, the best is the blowouts in your favor where you're like, I'm just chilling. We're just having a good time. We're laughing. We're talking. The game's on in the background, like Clem said. But even having a blowout the other direction, just easy wins – and easy games one way or the other is good for the soul, man.
Mm-hmm.
Best way to explain baseball there. I just wanted to – I was going to go the other direction here, but I just want to bring this up because doing it on Twitter is impossible, and I don't want to make this the only pro Lindor podcast out there, but you mentioned it before. We've talked about how the baseballs are dead, yada, yada, yada. I just want to say this right now. Francisco Lindor is fourth in shortstops and home runs, leads shortstops in runs, and is second in RBI, is a Gold Glove shortstop, and is, I think he's first on the Mets in runs, second on home runs, and second in RBIs, only behind fucking Pete Alonso, who like leads the NL in that shit, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Francisco Lindor is good. He's not great. He's not a $200 million guy. Right. He's great. So
I'm going to say something very controversial about the Mets right now. They have a lot of good players on this baseball team.
Yes.
I mean, like,
some people don't want to hear it. They have a lot of good players.
How about this? I saw this just before we started. Lindor's 2021 was the seventh best shortstop season in Mets history.
Yeah.
Wow. That's how fucking bad this advice is. I mean, the fact that that's not at the bottom of the list, but closer to the top.
The Mets have been playing for like 60 years, too. Like, that's like.
Yeah, it's a big, you know, we're not talking about the Marlins here. We're talking about like a team that's been around for like 70 years. This is a top, that was a top 10 shortstop performance. Now, I'm not going to say that means, you know, we should all suck Francisco Lindor's dick because of that. But, and I understand that we're chopping down the pool here. A lot of the arguments we're making is within the position of shortstop. When you're getting paid $340 million, you should be one of the best players, whether you're playing the outfield, infield, pitcher, whatever. Like, you should be the best of the best. He's not that. That's what happens. Sometimes people live up to the exact dollar of their contract. Sometimes people are a complete bust. In this case, Francisco Lindor is a little bit – I actually believe if you break down the numbers, he's, like, worth his money. Mm-hmm. But in our mind, in our collective, like, time as sports fans, when you see someone getting paid $34 million, they're supposed to be, like, the best of the best. I get it. He's not that. If you want to spend the rest of your fucking decade – nitpicking about that, then fine. What I will say is we needed to make a big splash. We did that. We needed to keep him after making that trade. We did that. We paid him before the free agent market hit. We got our guy before those five other shortstops hit the market. If you look at what everyone else is doing, that entire crop of shortstops, you'd probably want to have Francisco Lindor at the top of that, at the top of that list. We have a guy who is going to be a good player, who we needed someone marketable, we needed someone flashy, we needed someone cool, we needed someone the fans to get behind, we needed someone to mark the beginning of the Cohen era, we needed a shortstop. There's a million reasons why we needed Francisco Lindor, and he's checking all of those boxes, and then mostly checking all of the baseball boxes. At this point, you told me he's going to drive, if he's going to hit 25 home runs, 30 home runs, I would take that. He's going to give you that. His batting average is low. I mean, fucking Juan Soto's batting like 235. Are we going to nitpick fucking batting average in 2022? I don't know why all this, you know, you can look at these numbers in a good way. You can look at it in a bad way. And people just choose to look at the negative. I choose, especially being a Mets fan, as I just described, we've had never had a good fucking shortstop in our life. I choose to back the guy who's been the most talented shortstop we've probably ever had in fucking baseball, in team history. Gonna blow past Jose Reyes like in a matter of minutes. I'd rather back that guy than be against that guy every fucking night. But hey, that's just me, you dumb fucks. Yeah.
And it's just fun to root for a good baseball team. That's really all it is. Right. Just focus on the positives, like, and don't be afraid.
He's like Ray Ordonez at the plate. Like,
yeah.
First of all, he's not Ray Ordonez in the field, so don't make him Ray Ordonez at the plate. He's definitely a better hitter than that. Right. And I think Jose Reyes gets the hometown discount, like, because he's the homegrown player. So you just have a more fond memory. Not when he came back, but when he originally came up. Mm-hmm. This young guy who you're watching grow and develop into an all-star, whereas we go and get an all-star and bring him in, and now you're expecting him. I feel like people thought that he was like Jose Altuve coming in here, where he's going to be like this tiny guy who like crushes the baseball. And it's like, no, you've seen him a couple times in the playoffs with the Indians. Now we got him. He fields the ball phenomenally. He manages the pitchers on the mound, and he goes out and he makes amazing plays. Like, if he's going to hit the ball occasionally and drive in some runs, 80 RBIs. Would you guys be happy with that, with everyone else in the lineup? Like, yes.
And it also doesn't help that we got him. It doesn't help that we got him at the start of dead ball era when he made most of his stats like in a juiced ball shit. So,
well, yeah, that 2018 is like, he's not going to hit fucking 38 home runs ever again. And he probably wouldn't have got $340 million if it wasn't for that one season. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you pay based on certain things like that. You pay based on who you are and what you need. And at the end of the day, like, you know, I also believe with the fielding, a lot of people point to a few of his errors, and it's like he's got a couple bonehead bad plays on like routine shit, but I think more than makes up for it with some of the shit that he even balls that he knocks down and keeps in the infield and gets to. Like, he's a dynamic fielder that I think doesn't get enough credit in that regard either. He's not the best player in the league. Sometimes you pay money and you want the best player and you don't get like the absolute fucking best. I'm sorry that he's not Mike Trout. I'm sorry that he's not Juan Soto. I'm sorry that he's not some of the cream of the crop best in baseball. But again, if you're making a baseball team right now and you say, what shortstop do you want? He's at the top of the fucking list.
And look, I know his metrics defensively this year aren't great, but people just got to realize, like, if you're using a 40-game sample for defensive metrics, that's completely disingenuous, if that's the right word. defensive metrics are better when you're using like 2 or 3 year samples, not 40 fucking games. So that's just trolling.
It's the little things too. When you watch the team and you just see those pop ups in shallow outfield, those are not easy. But he makes them look easy. Those things fall in against us, and when he gets hurt, those things fall in. Yeah, the Beltran effect,
like I'm out there, I'm effortless, I'm smiling, I'm laughing. It doesn't mean that I'm not, you know, dialed in and trying. And you know, sometimes things go wrong, but for the most part, things go right.
Yep. So we've been through it. Like, again, I'm an old, Kevin's an old. We saw it with Piazza when he hadn't even signed the contract and they were just booing him because he wanted a lot of money. Mm-hmm. We saw it with Beltran. Hashtag blame Beltran is the running joke on Mets Twitter, where Beltran got blamed for everything bad that happened to Mets because, again, he made a lot of money and he wasn't, you know, hitting 50 home runs as a center fielder and putting up gold glove stats. And now we're going to see it again with Lindor. It's fucking time is a flat circle.
It's our worst trait as a fan base that we mistreat our absolute most talented players for God knows what reason, for a franchise, for a fan base that has barely seen greatness, except on the mound. We have barely seen greatness, maybe a handful of times in our lives. Yet we're going to sit here and nitpick down to, you know, individual stats when it's like, this guy can fucking ball. Here's what I challenge you to do. If you want to tell me that Francisco Lindor is bad, if you can make the argument without bringing up the contract, then okay. Because anytime I say, why do you care about the contract? They're always like, no, I don't care about the money. I'm talking about the production. And then one tweet later, they say, well, yeah, that's not what you expect from a $340 million guy. Do it without bringing up the contract, and then I'll have an argument. But the only way to say he's bad is that it's not $340 million worth of production. And there's no one on the planet who would say it is. So get over that debate. Get over that argument. If you can tell me that his production is not good as a shortstop without bringing up the money, then we can talk. But you can't.
Yeah. Money, and if you want to bring up batting average, bring up batting average, but just, I think, less of you as a person, as a baseball fan, and maybe as a person if you do that as well. Anyway, and if he's not Juan Soto, guess what? We're getting Juan Soto too, so don't fucking worry about it. That's coming down the road. Money is not an object with Uncle Stevie. Why are you guys still saying this? You're acting like the Wolf Ponds are still in
charge. You know what? Actually, if next offseason we whiff on a bunch of big names and Steve Cohen comes out and says it's because of the Francisco Lindor contract, then we can reopen the debate. At this moment right now, and for the foreseeable future, anyone probably with a brain can understand that this is not going to impact the big picture. Oh my God. I saw the other day someone complaining about the prices of concessions because the $340 million has been passed on to the fan. And every time you go get popcorn, it's an extra dollar. Suck my fucking dick. If that's your argument about Francisco Lindor, I, you know, jump off a goddamn bridge. Fuck yourself.
I had a couple guys buy me, they bought me a shot at Barstool, the ballpark shot at tequila, but I asked for no fucking tequila because the one fucking liquor that just sends shivers down my spine to give me the spits. It was $21 a shot, which was outrageous. But hey,
you know what?
All hands on fucking deck. You guys want to go to the fucking parade and have, you know, cake, punch, and Coors Light in November? That's how we're going to do it, by buying good fucking players. News.
Also, you need to buy tequila shots at a baseball game. You're an asshole and should be $21.
That's a fair point as well. Yeah. The fact that we just have a bar, I just have like bars with like marble counters. I'm like, what world am I living in? Like, I went to Shea. It was a concrete fucking like heap of concrete is what Shea was growing up. And now we have fucking marble bars. And that's before Uncle Stevie really, you know, upgrades it. So, and that's the other thing. All this money, we're talking about the Lindor thing. Like, I love Scherzer, right? $43 million. What's the one thing about Scherzer? He's old. He gets hurt. He's out. DeGrom's out, right? He's getting older. So now we're fucking building up this fucking rotation. So we got Peterson coming up. We're going to San Francisco where they they're not mashing like they did last season, but they somehow have more runs. And this is during the dead ball era, you know, era that we're living in right now. McGill's about to come back. So this is it, boys. This is the gauntlet has begun.
All right. So once the Mets get back from San Francisco, the gauntlet's going to continue. And that's why we need Mets fans to get out to Citi Field, get loud, get crazy, get like all those savage Philly fans are down in Philadelphia, because we have Mets Phillies coming up. Tickets right now are only $11
and dropping. That's right. And where do you get your tickets from? You got to get them from Game Time. It's the only place to get the best, cheapest, last-minute tickets. You've seen people at Barstool, all the idiot bloggers here. We've been going to the games, getting great seats for even better prices. And if you've ever dreamed of sitting in a seat you never thought you could be at, behind home plate, first row in the outfield, catching dingers, living the Stu Finer life, you got to get the Game Time app. It has the biggest last-minute price drops that can be found on the seats you thought you could never buy. So download the Game Time app, go to the account tab to create a login, and redeem code BELIEVE for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Download Game Time, last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Again, that's promo code BELIEVE to believe you can live that Stu Finer life. LFGM. Colorado was a nice little reprieve, but we have the Giants followed by the Phillies this weekend. And what's his name? Who's starting on Thomas
Sapaki?
Yes.
Don't get your hopes up about him just yet, because most prospect people say he's like a two-pitch pitcher. Yes, he's a bit better like in the minors this year, 30 Ks in 22 innings, because he had ulnar nerve surgery or whatever last July. So he's not as bad as we saw last year, but still probably not a starter. I could be wrong. Maybe he develops a third pitch in the majors, but that's like the scouting report.
Okay. Fair enough. So we're already kind of holding our breath to start off. And this is the Giants. This isn't the Rockies, even if it's in Colorado. And the Mets, they have scouts at with Montas and Molly. Those are the two guys that they're looking at now.
So Tyler Malley, they tried to get him before Bassett, but the price was too high. Maybe they could work something out where they take on Moustakas' contract or some other big contract they don't want to pay and it lessens the prospect haul. But
I take on Moustakas, bro. That's a guy who's fucking.
I mean, yeah, that sounds good in theory. I'm saying maybe it's a possibility. I'm just
I do believe. I think they're going to have to make a move, you know, now as like a stopgap, and then hopefully at the deadline. And I'm down for bringing in some of those guys who maybe, again, like a Lindor, a contract that's, it's overinflated. And but that's like – that's the beauty of Cohen. It's like, you know, is this money fully worth it? No. But is Moustakas a guy who's like been there and done that, and we can, you know, we know what we're getting and all that kind of shit? Yeah. So let's just pay it, because who fucking cares? It's like when I buy my kids some shit just so they shut the fuck up. It's like, yeah, whatever. Just here's a toy. I know that's expensive, but you're not going to bother me anymore. That's what we're doing here with Uncle Stevie. So if they can find a way to make those moves and take on some money that other teams and other owners can't in exchange for some guys who, you know, maybe they got a bloated contract based off of a good run or a whatever, but, you know, they know what they're doing and they know how to play ball, then let's do it. Because I do think we're going to need somebody. I do think we're going to need an additional arm or something, because it's the gauntlet, like you said, it begins today, and it's going to be tough getting through. Like, you know, McGill needs to come back and be like just as good as he was right away. You need Peterson to step up. You need Bassett to keep going. I was driving in today, and I have a very weird comfort with Bassett. Okay with pounds. And it's like,
he's a race now.
But he's just, I love his, maybe it's all his post game. His words are always like very encouraging and very like, I don't give a fuck. We're just going to come get you. That one quote with at the end of that Mets hype video where he's like, we're just going to grind you into the ground. I love it. It's like, let's go. So he's my rock right now. Whether or not he is
He hasn't hit his stride like he did. He hasn't hit his stride like he did in Oakland. So like he's making like manageable starts, but it's always like doesn't seem as crisp. Doesn't seem like he's got it all together. There's always a pitch that's giving him trouble, and he's just like grinding it out. Which like you'd love to see that, because eventually it's gonna click. And if you have him clicking as an ace, and those other guys come back, but like the ones that are the options right now, that's the toughest part. All these teams are still like technically in it, and they're going to be in it for longer because more teams are making it. So it's like we're going to have to overpay, and we're going to probably overpay for somebody who's not that great.
And look, if you're going to overpay, you want to do it in money, not prospects. Like that's what I'm saying. Like you better take on Moustakas' contract to lessen the prospect all, because like, money is just money. Money can just get burned. We don't care about that. Prospects, they'll kill us in the end.
Like why people need to start thinking about Cohen's money as a asset. The way that like, if you have a good bullpen, right? Like you go to your pen early and just lock the game down because you're leaning on the asset that you have the most of. If we have the most money, fucking use it. Have a bloated payroll. Overpay money for guys. Take on big contracts because other teams cannot do that. Mm-hmm. So do what other teams can't based on that wallet and don't give a fuck about it. I don't know if it's because we grew up making fun of the Yankees payroll. I don't know if it's because, you know, you almost take pride being like a Rays or a Athletics executive who can find the most for the least amount of money. I don't care about that. Mm-hmm. Use the money to make your team better. Use all of it. Mm-hmm. I don't care if it's $500 million. If it's done wisely, where it's like we needed a pitcher, so we got him by taking on this contract too, then that's a good thing. Use the asset you have.
Yeah, what's the point of having fuck you money if you can't say fuck you? That's the saying.
Exactly, man.
Throw that ass around in the paint and start throwing fucking elbows. I'm talking like early, like mid Shaq style, Lakers Shaq. Just bully these motherfuckers. That's what this thing is all
pulling
about.
Down the hoop.
Yep. So this is what I want the Mets to do. So Montas is perfect. I don't know if he's gonna be the guy, but you go to the A's. Hey, right, what is it gonna take to get him on the Mets? And every single prospect, especially the younger ones you don't know about, as for say, all right, that guy is now untradeable. And then you're gonna talk to every other team in baseball, other than the Rays and the A's, because they will somehow find a way to get your best guys from you. And then you fucking, like you said, you take back the bloated contract, you do whatever you do. And I feel like the Mets have kind of a 3-year window here where they're saying in 3 years, that's where the contracts end, right? That's where Scherzer's is, Marte. And I think that's when maybe Soto comes on the books and then the next phase of the Mets begins where they kind of go Dodgers, their farm system starts bearing fruit for them, whatever we haven't traded away in any of these trades. Then we go from there. Mm-hmm. Also got a shout out. We have to shout out the other Blue Mountain boy, our guy Drew Smith, shooting his shot.
Yes, my guy.
What a move. Drew Smith is the king of little Mets Twitter. He just went fucking
confidence that we need in our ball club.
Yep.
You have to be my eighth inning guy if you're not shooting your shot with a swimsuit model as like a no name. All he did was catch your first pitch. It's like you're spitting game
on such a fucking move.
So for the people that missed it here, Drew Smith, shouted out Cindy Kimberly, who she the head of the she wasn't on the cover of the SI swimsuit issue, but she's kind of like the star of it, right? So
she's Lewis Hamilton's ex-girlfriend, Justin Bieber's ex-girlfriend. I don't know if she's the head of the star of the swimsuit edition like team. She is like the star of the fucking world if she's dating guys like that. And Drew Smith, a fucking reliever in MLB, is out here shooting his shot saying next time you come to a game. The confidence to do that is so awesome to publicly do that.
And then she goes, so he says, see you at another game this year at Wolfie Cindy, you know, and the eyes emoji, which that's a little flirty eyes emoji. And
oh,
she
goes, he knows.
Let me know next time you need a good luck charm. We have kind of like I'm so out of the emoji world. I never dated during the emoji era. That seems like that's a flirty emoji. That's like
one step below the wink. That little smiley face is one step below the wink, but definitely flirty. And when Drew Smith sent that tweet, there's two things going on right now in Mets Twitter that are my favorite things about social media. On the one hand, you've got Mark Gooden doing weird Twitter bits. I love a good, weird Twitter bit. The thing with the weather, the thing with the copyright pictures, the lineup cards that he's making. When you do a good Twitter bit, social media is at its best. The other thing that I love is it's the most pure form of friendship and internet is when a guy hits on a chick and everybody gets in the comments and is like, yo, thanks so much for what you did for my grandma that day. Thanks for saving those puppies from the house fire. I heard that you adopted all those kids from the orphanage. And it's just like an endless, and she's added on every tweet. So she sees all of them and everybody stands up for their guy and wingmans for him. And it fucking worked. And now Drew Smith's going to end up dating one of the most coveted chicks on the planet Earth. And that's the kind of mojo you can't fucking buy. Steve Cohen can't even buy you that shit. Drew Smith's going to end up being, forget about Diaz. He'll be closing. He'll be closing because he's dating Cindy Kimberly, who's the hottest chick on the planet.
When I heard Mbappe, and again, soccer guy, I was like, you're dealing with soccer heavy, 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 heavy hitters. That's another universe.
Soccer guys, F1 guys, biggest pop star in the galaxy. She is like top tier dudes. and my man Drew Smith is pitching the eighth inning for maybe for the Mets. It's crazy.
That brings you back to Moneyball, where they're like, his girlfriend's ugly. He has got no confidence. It's like the complete opposite. Anything else? That's my eighth inning, man, the rest of the way through.
Can you imagine?
Are you looking for relief, relaxation, or to party on the motherfucking moon? Then check out 3Chi's new True Strains lineup of cannabis vapes and gummies tailored for specific effects. And the best part? It's delivered straight to your door. Visit 3Chi.com. That's 3Chi.com. And for a limited time, get 20% off with the code BARSTOOL20.
Can you imagine Drew Smith's confidence the rest of the year if he's dating or hanging out with or what, even just connected to Cindy Kimberly? He's like, what, the bases are loaded and nobody's out? Give me the ball. I don't give a fuck. I'm dating Cindy Kimberly. I'll do whatever I want out here. You guys suck. You're nobody. We're going to win a goddamn World Series because of that chick. Mark my words.
Yep. So, and like you said, it's all about confidence. It's a weird game. This game is full of juju and confidence. Talent has something to do with it, juju and confidence. And we're going to wrap up the show. Pavs asked us, if you had to choose a walk-up song right now, Kevin Clancy's, you know, doing some sort of, you know, you called him to the bigs. Do you have it in mind? Do you like keep track of that shit?
Yeah, no. I mean, my eternal answer to these questions, and it particularly works for baseball, but it could be for anything. Walk up music, entrance music, you know, run out from the bullpen music. Regulate.
Yeah,
regulate with the intro where, you know, as I'm coming to the plate or as I'm stepping on the mound where they yell mound up. I think is just one of the cockiest songs of all time. Now, it's getting dated. It used to be an answer when I did these blogs and hypotheticals that everybody who was on the website or watching the show, they knew the song. I'm sure a few of you out there, a bunch of you out there, have no idea what Regulate even is. But if you don't, go listen to it. Warren G, Nate Dogg, all-time classic. That it's as cocky as it gets for me.
That's a good one. Phil, do you have one? Do you have a song in mind?
I'll steal Enter Sandman from Mariano Rivera. How about that?
Whoa. Phil. Oh, those are fucking big shoes, Phil, buddy. You mean Phil Wagner? You mean
that's Troll Phil Wagner coming out right there. Troll Phil's coming out there big time. Kyle, what's yours?
So in college, my freshman year one was Can't Tell Me Nothing by Kanye West, where that drops. Tumble For You.
This motherfucker's like, what actually was my music? Fuck you, Kyle.
And then I Tumble For You by Boy George with the trumpets, Billy Madison style, coming up.
Going up
the stairs. A lot of compliments on that one.
You do this. I think you either got to go like really like cocky with it or something like I would do Call Me Maybe or something that's just like a pop song that it's not about being tough or cool. It's just like this song fucking goes.
I actually have like a running diary that I think I usually tweet out like whatever I'm feeling at the time. This is my new batting entrance. Just like walk in like wrestling, right? Wrestling entrance music. Just like walk into a room. This is what I want played. The Mandalorian theme was recently moved to top. Ooh. Then the Peacemaker song. Do you really want to taste it? But I actually just tweeted this like the day before this video went viral. Self-Esteem by Offspring. You get the la, 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 la. And then the fucking guitar.
Great throwback. Yeah,
that's a great throwback.
Those are three great picks. I like the Peacemaker one right now. That's a great one that we get the whole ball going, I think. Yeah, everyone doing the dance from the fucking show.
I think a good batting song, or even like we know with a reliever, like Edwin Diaz, Narco came on, and the man has completely changed who he is. Yeah. So, like, did you guys have any doubt in him yesterday? I was like, oh, he's in the game.
No doubt.
I hate that I have to give Brody credit for it, but – Jared Kelenic, I think it's 15 strikeouts as he got sent down. Robinson Cano is a fucking bum, but we now have the richest owner who could just send his ass to San Diego by cutting him for nothing. And now we have, like, again, Josh Hader is the only guy that you would say is more lights out than him, and he has his own set of issues that you'd have to be dealing with every time he came in the game, right? So
I don't think Josh Hader's given up a run since the Jose Peraza home run. Well, in the regular season, I mean, the Jose Peraza home run before the All-Star break. I could be wrong, but that seems accurate.
He's fucking lights out, but Edwin's on his heels, man. Edwin's coming, bro. And so, like, Brody goes from, like, the gap between him being the worst GM the Mets ever had and the second worst gets closed by, like, a little bit. Yeah. That's what, you know, that's what Edwin does for him.
Just quietly picking up his 10th save. Like, it's nothing. Because that's just how the team is. It's so baseline now. We're like, all right, Diaz is in. Like, I already like pull up the tweet, like I'm ready to send out the win tweet. I just save it in the drafts as soon as he comes in. That's how you know the confidence level, because there was some I just flat out deleted the picture out of my photo album, and then I have to go and find it just to tweet it out because he got a save. Like now it's
yeah,
just like,
no, I always judge my life can be judged by if the books and Apple emojis are in my recent emojis. And there were stretches last year where I had to go scrolling through my shit to find them. And now these days, the books and the apples are right there at the top every single goddamn day because of Edwin Diaz.
So there it is. Fucking that's a good ass feeling. That, like it truly is. That's you can tell how our life. And then ipso facto, our happiness is based on where those emojis are in your book. So the fact that they're right there on the recently done. So we have a tough trip here because this is now West Coast baseball. I know I retired from West Coast trips. Kevin retired from Mr. Innings. I think we're at the point now where I'm gonna keep going on until I just basically pass out. But I know we got the young gunners here and Kyle and Phil who will be covering this shit nonstop. Nicky the Good. I mean, he's like a mental patient. I don't even know what he does. He's up early too with the little one. He is a little kid.
Yeah.
So we have coverage around the clock here. We gotta believe. If you see the tweets from Kevin and I at 1 a.m. when it's over, hopefully after a win, we made it. But
I hope not. Shit, I hate the West Coast so.
At least these games are at 9:45. Think about it that way. It's like 30 minutes early.
Yeah,
10:30s are fucking out of control, man. I can't take that. 10:40 starts is like get fucking lost. Let me just say this as we start the gauntlet. I want to try to give some people some good vibes here, because if you were to tell me that the Dodgers are about to go through a 5 or 6 series stretch of good teams, I'd be like, so what? They're the fucking Dodgers. They'll probably hold their own. You know, if you were to tell me right now, I don't give a shit what the Yankees schedule looks like. They don't ever lose a fucking game right now. So the good teams, and the Mets are one of them, biggest lead in the division, mostly thankfully because how shitty the rest of the NL East is, but also how well we've played, they're a good team. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, they're going through the gauntlet, but there's other teams at home tonight. The Giants are going, we got the Mets tonight. So always remember that. It's hard to break your thinking, but Wilpon Mets, last year Mets, get demolished in that stretch. This year, what do we say?
Gotta believe.
So you gotta believe, and remember, we're one of the good guys now too.
Mm-hmm.
We are the ones who knock. Gotta believe.